Good evening, this is urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto, and this is the Urologist Speaks. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for all the loyal listeners. It's greatly appreciated. I appreciate all the words of encouragement as I get day in and day out, and all your wonderful texts in regards to the show itself. And the motivation behind this is trying to improve not just the longevity of Bahamians and residents, but the quality of life, both physical and mental, for all listeners and residents of the country. So I'm going to speak a little bit today about two topics pertaining to women, men, and children, and that's related to bladder issues, urinary issues. Primarily, I'm going to speak about urinary urgency, frequency, incontinence, which is urinary leak. So for many persons, unfortunately, abnormal often becomes the normal. And it's because the abnormal is usually a slow, progressive change over time, and you're really not noting it because it's not an abrupt change. So when we talk about urinary issues, for example, for men, all of a sudden, they're feeling like they have no control of their bladder. But usually the change has been happening over time. So the notice for the last 5 years, their flow is not as good as they used to be. When they go to initiate a stream, it takes a little bit longer to get started. It takes a little bit longer to finish. And there's a little bit of dribbling as they walk away from the toilet. They'll notice that they don't have as much leeway in terms of knowing when they have to make it to the bathroom because they can't delay urination. They have too much urgency. So they all of a sudden progressively determine, where am I going to find the next bathroom when they're planning their day? They're going to strategically not drink anything just because they're going to go into traffic and know they're not going to even be able to pull over to the side of the road to urinate. Or they're afraid to have a glass of water before they go to bed because they know that's just going to cause them to pee 6-8 times, and they're going to go to bed like a zombie. And worse yet, it's going to be putting a stress on their marital life, because obviously if you're going to be waking up 6 or 8 times in the night, your spouse or your wife is obviously going to be awoken at least half those number of times, if not every single time. So you're both waking up all the time, disruptive sleep. As soon as you think you've emptied your bladder, and you truly, in many cases, you're not, you fall asleep, and then you got to wake up yet again. And it's a vicious cycle where you basically feel like a zombie because you're never getting that good quality sleep. And obviously, it's going to put a strain on your wife because she's going to be angry at you for waking her up all day and all night. So depending on the age of the individual, if you're middle-aged or older, statistically speaking, it's related to a benign age-related increase in the size of the prostate, which happens inevitably with every man. If you're going to be blessed with advanced age, you're going to have to deal and contest with issues of urinary urgency, frequency, incomplete bladder emptying. And it usually happens per decade. So 50% of 50-year-olds, 60% of 60-year-olds, and even 70, 80% of 70-year-olds are going to have some amount of what we call lower urinary tract symptoms, either irritative or obstructive, where they're going to be peeing frequently, urgently, not emptying their bladder. And basically, their whole life is in shambles in many cases, in severe cases, where the bladder is in fact controlling their life. So the good news is that you know your body better than anyone else. If you know that the flow isn't as good as it used to be, if you know that there's leakage that you didn't have previously, and to the point where you have to change your underwear, or it takes 30 seconds to 45 seconds just to initiate a stream, or that you're afraid to have a glass of water or a cup of coffee or a beer with a friend because you know inevitably gonna, your friends are gonna ask you, why do you have to go and urinate every 15 minutes? Or you know you have an important meeting, or you're a teacher and you have to teach a class, and you know basically you have to exist throughout the school day dehydrated, because if you drink anything, you're gonna be in and out of that classroom having to urinate frequently and urgently. And face it, we're not always gonna have a bathroom available as well. So stop letting the bladder control your life. Regain control of your bladder. Regain control of your happiness. There's no need to worry about where the next bathroom is. You shouldn't be stopping to have a glass of water or drinking anything at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the evening, because you know if you don't, you're going to be peeing incessantly throughout the night and not getting a good night's sleep. That's going to cause other health issues, including negatively impact your kidney function. It can predispose you, if you're dehydrated, to kidney stones, and that's one thing, as urologists, I can attest to. You don't never want to have kidney stones. They're the most painful thing known to man. I've had patients who have been shot, and they'd rather be shot than have the kidney stones. That's the most painful thing you can ever endure. Never go put yourself at risk of having kidney stones, and being dehydrated and withholding fluid intake is one sure way to increase your risk of developing kidney stones. So don't try to solve one problem by creating even a bigger problem down the road. And obviously you need your sleep. You need at least 7 hours of good quality sleep every single night. It's important for your cardiovascular system. Studies have shown it statistically will reduce your chance of getting a heart attack, a stroke. And just in terms of your mental health, you need to make sure that you have sufficient rest in terms of your cognition, in terms of your memory. All of that is going to be impaired if you are waking up all night and every night to urinate. So please don't let the bladder control your life. You know your body best. If you think the normal is to sleep with a container at the side of the bed because you just can't even bother to wake up 5-6 times and actually walk to the bathroom to urinate, there's something wrong. If you know that you have to actually drive with a container to urinate into as a man, you know there's something wrong. You've probably been doing it for years and it's become your normal. You may have relatives, you may have friends who actually also have to endure that indignity of having a container to urinate into. It's not normal. It's completely abnormal and it doesn't have to happen. That's the take-home message. There are medications that we can prescribe as urologists or physician that can allow you to have control of your bladder, allow you to have a good urinary flow like you haven't seen since you were 18, 20 years old, allow you to empty your bladder completely, allow you to go 3 or 4 hours without having to pee frequently or urgently, allow you to have a very good stream, and most importantly, when you do empty, to empty completely so that you don't have any residual urine behind, and to allow you to go, if not the whole night, maybe wake up once in the night to urinate, just with one medication. So why are you needlessly suffering by allowing the bladder to control your life and basically destroy your quality of life? So please never let that happen. If you are in that position, if you know someone close to you that's in that position, please speak to them, let them seek help. Any physician in this country, the cornerstone of any physician's private practice, public practice, any interactions with physicians and a patient would be confidentiality. So anything that's said in the confines of an office environment, a clinic environment, that stays with the physician, that stays with the urologist. So there's no need for embarrassment. A urologist's life is urinary issues. A urologist's life is anything to do with the urogenital system. So if you're having sexual issues, if you're having urinary issues, if you're having pain in the genitals, it all falls under the purview of a urologist. And I've heard it all. There's nothing that you can tell me that is going to change the expression on my face. And I'm going to be very sympathetic. I'm going to provide comprehensive, compassionate care. And obviously, confidentiality is a must. So even if you see me in the food store, even if you see me in the gas station, if you see me out in an event, I'll not acknowledge you. If you want to say, hey, doc, I'll say, hello as well, but it doesn't affect our relationship. It stays in the office in terms of what you tell me. If you don't want anyone to know that you know me as a patient, then that's your business. So please don't let fear of or embarrassing your own embarrassment provide you a life that in many cases is almost not worth living because you're not enjoying it. You only have one life to live. God has given us one life to live. Enjoy that life. Don't let anything control your life. Don't let urinary issues control your life. Don't let, and I'll get to this later in the hour, don't let erectile dysfunction rob you of your happiness. Don't let it rob you of your self-worth. Don't make it where you are a shell of your former self. All your confidence is gone. You feel worthless. You feel less than a man. Your relationships suffer. And it's not just the men who suffer with erectile dysfunction. It's the partners, the marriage that's going to suffer as well. So don't think that you're alone in that as well. Many times when I see patients, they'll actually bring the spouse, they'll bring the girlfriend. And as a three of us will get to a solution to get you back on track, which is going to provide just as much happiness, just as much in terms of improving self-esteem for the male as for the female as well. Because it is a blow to a woman's self-esteem that they can't, first of all, that they're seeing that their husband, their boyfriend, their partner suffering, because they do suffer. For Bahamian men, the most important organ, and this is not even debatable, is their male organ. So if it's not functioning, if they're not able to satisfy themselves, satisfy their partner, they're going to feel like a failure. And there's no reason that anyone should be living their life as if they're a failure. And it creates so many different issues for marital life, because first of all, once it happens, and it happens to everyone, anyone who is a male is going to be afflicted with erectile dysfunction at one time or another in their life. And what it does is it makes you feel that pressure to perform the next time. So in fact, you're overthinking things, you're not relaxed, and that in itself can be self-defeating. And many men know what that's like. So if you're overthinking everything, and because you know either your partner has vocalized that questions that maybe you don't find me attractive anymore, is it because I put on a little bit of weight? Is it because I'm a little bit older? All of a sudden, because of the culture and our society, you must have a sweetheart, and she's making you satisfied, and as a wife, I pale in comparison. And in many cases, this has nothing to do with reality whatsoever, but the husband, the male, has that stress on them that they don't want their wife to feel that low self-esteem. They don't want their wife to have the wrong connotations associated with a man on being able to perform, and then jump to the tangent, it's because they don't find him attractive. So just know that erectile dysfunction happens to us all. There's no reason to be ashamed. The greatest shame is to live in silence and to allow it to occur, not just for weeks, but for months, but for years, and allow it to progressively get worse. So never let erectile dysfunction let you down, let your relationship down, let your partner down. There's so many ways that you can rise again. And that's always been my mantra as urologist. And I keep telling whoever will listen, no matter what the circumstance, you can always rise again. No matter what comorbidities that you may have, diabetes, hypertension, you may have had pelvic surgery, you may have had radiation, you may have very poor blood supply to your male member, you may have very poor nerve supply, or both, or none at all. There's always first-line treatment, there's always second-line therapy, there's always third-line therapy, and then if it gets to it, we'll go to fourth-line therapy that'll get you to rise again. The most important thing also when we're dealing with erectile dysfunction is to realize that, as anything in medicine, we treat the root cause. There's no point in prescribing a blue pill or Viagra or Cialis or the generic is tadalafil, and the generic of Viagra is sildenafil, or Levitra, or worse yet, and please don't do this, don't self-medicate by going to your gas station and buying something behind the counter. Your gas station attendant or cashier is not your medical practitioner. Google is not your doctor. Please stop trying to self-medicate, self-diagnose, and because of embarrassment, try to find a solution to your erectile dysfunction, because you're almost certainly doing yourself grievous harm. The reason for that is because, sure, if you can take unregulated medication, which has never gone through any FDA trials, is not FDA approved, it's marketed as a supplement where you don't have to do any human trials, you take it at your own risk. Studies have shown throughout the years that many of these medications, a billion-dollar business, unregulated erectile dysfunction enhancers, it's made as cheaply as possible. So they've done studies that shown that, yes, it will have an active ingredient that, just like Viagra, Cialis, or Levitra, will get you an erection. But it's because it's made so cheaply and there's no concern to what grievous harm it may provide you, it may have lead chips in it. It may have other ingredients that, because it's just the way that they make it cheaply, that can do other harm to you. But what you're doing is you're doing harm to yourself, because the reason for the erectile dysfunction has to be addressed. You don't treat the symptom, you treat the symptom and you treat the root cause. And that can save your life. And I'm not overstating that fact, it can save your life. One of the early signs and symptoms of cardiovascular disease, where you may have obstruction or plaque of your coronary arteries that supply your heart, or your carotid arteries that supply your brain, that if they're obstructed sufficiently in later years can lead to a stroke or heart attack. What will happen is the same mechanism where atherosclerosis, plaques that are formed, are going to form in the smaller blood vessels first, many years before the larger blood vessels. So in many cases, erectile dysfunction is a precursor to more serious coronary artery disease. So it can save your life. I can't count the number of times where someone has come in to my office within a confidential environment where we determine that you have a non-communicable disease that's either not controlled or not diagnosed, such as diabetes or hypertension or high cholesterol, where you have early atherosclerosis, obstruction and plaque formation within your blood vessels themselves. Or you may have issues with low testosterone, which the medical term is hypogonadism, where you can have low testosterone, and testosterone is very important for you to be able to have a sexual drive, to achieve an erection, and to maintain an erection. And testosterone is very important for other facets of your health as well. It's very important in terms of protecting your heart and your cardiovascular system. A normal testosterone can reduce your chance of getting a heart attack or stroke later in life as well. It could also prevent you from putting on weight very easily and making it almost impossible to lose it. Low testosterone can also affect you mentally, your mental acuity, your cognitive abilities. It can almost make you feel a shell of your former self, 20 years older than your own chronological age. So you can be 50 and feel like a very poor health 80. And there's no reason for that. So please understand that erectile dysfunction might be a warning sign, in many cases a warning sign of something more sinister going on. If we can find out what that is, we can institute behavioral modifications where we're going to get you to exercise 3 times a week. We're going to get you to lose those 20 pounds. We're going to get your cholesterol well controlled. We're going to diagnose and control your high blood pressure. And high blood pressure is a silent killer. It's going to silently first kill your erections, then it's going to silently kill you. So you want to know why this person dropped dead or that person. In many cases, they've had many years of uncontrolled blood pressure, never gone for an annual physical, never got their blood pressure checked, And for Bahamian men, even if they have been diagnosed with hypertension, they'll claim, I'm not claiming that, I'm not going to take the medication, and the medication will continue to internally eat you up from the inside out, destroying your organs, and for many men, it's going to be their most important organ, their male organ, their that allows them to have an erection before the other organs. And then it's going to lead them to kidney failure, it's going to affect their eyes, it's going to do untold harm to their heart, it's going to do untold harm to their blood vessels. So please don't ignore erectile dysfunction and just even borrow a regulated medication like a Viagra or a Cialis from your cousin or your neighbor or your church member, because you're still not treating the root cause. Unfortunately, many men will come to see me and the first thing they're going to say is, oh yeah, I've been taking a Cialis, I have a friend who's a pharmacist, or I've been borrowing my cousin's Viagra for 2 years, but now, doc, I've developed a tolerance for it and it doesn't work anymore. That's not the case, because whatever root cause that was never treated, never diagnosed, never addressed has become so overwhelming and so severe, essentially, even the Viagra and Cialis cannot help you. So don't let Google treat you, don't treat yourself. All right, we're gonna return to this interesting and fascinating talk on erectile dysfunction after the commercial break. This is Urology Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. Thank you, and welcome back to the Urology Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. Before the commercial, we were talking about erectile dysfunction. Unfortunately, this is a pre-recorded show, so we're not taking any texts, we're not taking in any call-in. And obviously, we love this to be an interactive show, but unfortunately, because of work commitments, I had to pre-record this show a week early. So I'm just going to be speaking to myself. My co-host, unfortunately, is also stuck in emergency surgery. So there's a lot to speak of. Unfortunately, there is no call-in or any text to answer. Please hold your calls and your concerns or your questions till next week, and I'll be happy to answer them comprehensively. So please don't let erections get you down. There's no need for it to rob you of your happiness even for 1 month, much less 6 months or a year. And as I said, if we don't treat the root cause, that root cause is going to become overwhelming. There are far too many men in this country who, if they had sought help for peeing frequently and urgently and not emptying their bladder, they wouldn't end up on dialysis. There are too many men in this country who died needlessly of a stroke or heart attack if even 15 years ago, before their stroke or their heart attack, they sought help for their erectile dysfunction. And then even when you are diagnosed with medications, men in particular, please take your medication. Stop being hard-headed. If you need to take a medication once a day that allows you to live 20 years more than you would if you didn't take the medication, or allows you to have a better quality of life while you're on this earth, or allows you to maintain your erections into your 80s, that's a small price to pay. If you don't like seeing a physician, if you don't like taking medication, if you don't like going to emergency rooms or getting injections or having surgeries or having procedures, then the best way to do that is to be preventative, to be proactive, not to wait until something happens and then address it then. Let's do preventative medicine. Let's eat right from a young age. Let's get exercise. Let's maintain a normal body mass index. Let's avoid obesity. Let's get your annual bloods every single year. Let's know what your prostate-specific antigen blood test is every year from the age of 40 all the way until the age of at least 70, even in men who will have longevity in their family. Let's go all the way to the age of 75. And let's not miss any year in between, because we have all the risk factors for prostate cancer in this country. 1 in 6 men in this country are going to be afflicted with prostate cancer, and not just prostate cancer, but a more aggressive form of the disease. So we can think of prostate cancer in African and Caribbean ancestry men as a more aggressive form of the disease than our other racial counterparts. So if a Caucasian male, same age, same demographics, same comorbidities, same lifestyle, and a black male are diagnosed with early prostate cancer that's curable, the black male, unfortunately, is going to have a higher rate of recurrence across the board. The black male is going to have a greater chance of dying of prostate cancer than their Caucasian counterpart. And that's just because of the genetics of the disease itself. Prostate cancer is a very prejudiced and racist disease. It afflicts men of African ancestry, black men across the world at higher rates, and it's a more aggressive form of the disease. In fact, in the United Kingdom, men of African and Caribbean ancestry, 1 in 4 are going to be afflicted with prostate cancer. That's overwhelming. In the United States, it's estimated that 1 in 6 African American men are going to be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and we extrapolate that to our own beautiful Bahamas. About 1 in 6 are going to get afflicted with prostate cancer. But the wonderful news about prostate cancer, it's probably the easiest cancer to pick up, and it's almost without any debate the easiest cancer to treat and get a cure. If we can pick up prostate cancer early, your chance of survival is nearly 100% at 5 years. It's 96-97% at 10 years for cancer-specific survival. So it's a very curable disease. There's a lot of misinformation in the community in regards to prostate cancer, and I can't speak about it enough because there are too many ill-informed individuals out there who are also spreading their information to their friends, their colleagues, and their family, where a diagnosis of prostate cancer is a death sentence. Absolutely not. It's the opposite of that. If we can pick it up early, your chances of survival is 100%. If you get diagnosed with prostate cancer, there are too many men in this society believe, okay, your erections are gone forever. You're going to have to wear a urinary catheter in a bag for the rest of your life. Your manhood is gone. Your life is over. Absolutely not correct. If we can pick up prostate cancer early, we can minimally invasively cure you. In many cases, an outpatient procedure or overnight procedure with minimal to no recovery. Men don't want to hear about pain. We can cure your prostate cancer with little or no pain whatsoever. You can go right back to your regular routine almost instantaneously. You may want to take a day or two off. We can do minimally invasive procedures where you can have treatment on a weekend. You could be back to work that week. So the whole misconception that prostate cancer is a killer is a very dangerous one, because it makes so many men afraid of prostate cancer where they shouldn't be. They should be aware of their prostate cancer status, not afraid of it. They should realize that if they pick up prostate cancer early, and we have so many ways of picking up prostate cancer, the primary one that we do in terms of screening is just a routine blood test, PSA, prostate specific antigen blood test, which all you got to do is get your annual physical. That's a simple tick of the box on your lab form by your physician, and you don't need any extra blood taken, and we're going to know what your statistical probability of you having prostate cancer is. So PSA is not a very sensitive or specific test. That means there's false negative, there's false positive. We don't use that laboratory value to determine whether you have prostate cancer. We use it as a stepping stone to determine, do we have to do more specific tests, including blood tests or imaging, to determine whether you may or may not have prostate cancer? Because PSA, prostate specific antigen, is an enzyme that's produced by the prostate epithelial cells. It is specific to the prostate gland. It's not specific for prostate cancer. There are many things that cause a PSA value to jump up, including a very large but normal prostate with absolutely no prostate cancer whatsoever, such as in BPH, benign prostate hyperplasia, which is age-related increase in the size of the prostate. In terms of incomplete bladder emptying, if you're walking around with a pool of urine day in and day out, and anatomically the prostate lies right underneath the bladder, you're going to have your half-full bladder pressing on the prostate all days of the week, and that's going to cause your PSA to go up. Inflammation of the prostate. infection of the prostate, all of those things can cause your PSA to go up and to be elevated. So even if you have an elevated PSA, it doesn't mean that you have prostate cancer. Even if you have a normal PSA, it doesn't mean that you don't have prostate cancer. So 15 to 20% of men will have prostate cancer, will have a normal PSA. So that's why it's very important to get a PSA every single year from the age of 40 and every year after that, because we're not just looking at what their PSA blood value is in isolation. We're trying to compare 1 year with the next. Is there a great change from 1 year to the next and your PSA value is still normal? That is an indicator that we need to do more specific tests, because that might be an indicator of early onset of prostate cancer. So, quote unquote, if your PSA is said to be normal, it's if it's less than 4 nanograms per mil. If your PSA is 2.8 this year and it was 0.3 last year, that's a significant increase over time, which is called PSA velocity, change over time. So if your PSA velocity, the change over time, is significant, that is an indicator that you may have early prostate cancer, because if you have a normal PSA, 15% of men with early prostate cancer are going to have a normal PSA. Then we talk about the elephant in the room. Is there a need to do the dreaded, embarrassing digital rectal exam? Now, that could be academically argued for hours on end. There's no right or wrong answer, but we look at governing bodies, looking at the American Urology Association. It says that for routine screening, the digital rectal exam has little to no role. In fact, in our society, it's causing tens of thousands of men to never seek any form of prostate cancer screening because they don't want the homophobic connotation of having the digital rectal exam. They don't want the embarrassment of it all. And we have to look at, what are we doing in terms of, is there a benefit of doing the digital rectal exam? We have specific blood tests. We have a urine RNA test that can pick up prostate cancer long before the digital rectal feels abnormal. And the big misconception and misunderstanding, even within the physician community for many, is that if you have prostate cancer, doing a digital rectal exam, your prostate feels abnormal. Absolutely not. In early forms of prostate cancer, your digital rectal exam feels completely normal. The prostate feels smooth. There are no nodules, there are no ridges. Everything feels completely normal. So that's where we're trying to pick up patients with prostate cancer, when it's so early, so low volume, where the prostate itself feels completely normal, even to the point where the disease is an almost incidental finding. It's innocuous. If we don't do anything about it right now, it's not going to do you any harm. And because we're picking up prostate cancer so early, there's actual treatment modality / management plan called active surveillance, where we can actively surveil someone with early non-invasive organ confined low volume prostate cancer for, in many cases, 8, 10, 12 years before we need to cure that individual. So prostate cancer, we can pick it up so early that we don't even necessarily need to treat you. And then when we do treat you, there's so many ways that can be done minimally invasively, without the big cut, without the big recovery, without the pain. We can do it where we do it where there's minimal to no impact on your erections going forward. There's minimal to no impact in terms of your urinary control and continence. So what we aim for anytime as urologists is the trifecta for prostate cancer management. We want to make sure that the patient is cured, is in remission for life, that they maintain the same erections they had before any treatment, after treatment, and that they don't have any urinary issues related to the treatment of the prostate cancer itself. So that's the trifecta. And because we have so many advanced treatment modalities available, we can do that very effectively. So even if you need to have your prostate removed, which is medically called a radical prostatectomy, we can do that minimally invasively. Small keyhole incisions using long instruments, minimal to no recovery. You're up and about in a couple hours after the surgery. We can do that laparoscopically, or we can do that minimally invasively with keyhole incisions using the Da Vinci robot. We can heat your prostate cancer and kill only the prostate cancer tumor and cells, leave the rest of the gland intact. And that's called HIFU, high intensity focus ultrasound. We can freeze the prostate cancer tumor and cells and leave the rest of the gland intact and give you a very effective treatment with an excellent cure rate, and that's called cryotherapy. We can provide radiation in terms of either external beam radiation, which is painless. And in fact, many men will have image-guided external beam radiation where the radiation is guided only to destroy the prostate cancer cells and spares the surrounding structures, including the bladder and the rectum and the remaining prostate, and effectively kills the prostate cancer and leaves the rest of the gland intact, and is also an excellent treatment modality with minimal effect on your erections immediately and even long-term, and on your urinary control incontinence. And many men just get that on the lunch hour. It's 20 minutes, they lay down, get painless radiations with little to no side effects, and they go right back to work. Or you can have internal radiation, which takes the form of something called brachytherapy, where we place low-dose radioactive seeds into the prostate strategically using the use of a 3D reconstruction of your prostate, knowing exactly where the tumor is present. We make use of a team, including a nuclear physicist and radiation oncologist, to determine exactly where to deliver the brachytherapy seeds. And these seeds are very small. Several can fit on your fingertips, even smaller. A brachytherapy seed is actually even smaller than a grain of rice. And then we place them into the prostate in a minimally invasive procedure, no cut, no stitches, in an outpatient procedure where radiation, low-dose radiation, is dispersed a few millimeters in either direction of the brachytherapy seeds, kills only the prostate cancer tumor and cells, leaves the rest of the gland intact, and has an excellent cure rate with you to maintain your erections at least with a 94 or greater percentage, minimal to no urinary issues after the procedure. And you can get that done on a Saturday as an outpatient. You can be in church on a Sunday. You can be back to work on a Monday. So this whole perception and misunderstanding in the community that prostate cancer is a death sentence, that once you get it, there's no hope, that your erections are gone, absolutely no true. In fact, the opposite is true. If you wait until prostate cancer is advanced, where you're not for a cure, you're just for palliation, where we're trying to get you as many years on this earth for as long as we can with good quality years on this earth while we're trying to hold the prostate cancer at bay, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to unfortunately ruin your erections. Not because we're masochists or we're cruel. It's life over leisure. We're trying to get you life on this earth that you can spend with your grandchildren, with your wife, allow you to spend it with your friends. And we're going to do is we're going to starve you of your testosterone. Because once you have prostate cancer, you need testosterone for that prostate cancer to proliferate and progress. If we can lower your testosterone to nearly zero, you're going to halt, you're going to stall the progression of prostate cancer. And that's called medical castration, which could be done with in the form of medication once a day or even injection subcutaneously every 3 months. And what that does is basically it puts you in the male version of menopause. Your erections are gone, your sexual drive is gone, you're going to have heat intolerance, you're going to have hot flashes, you're going to put on weight unnecessarily, you're going to develop gynecomastia, which is breast tissue. So let that be a motivation to get prostate cancer screening. If you want to maintain your erections until God calls you back home into your 80s or your 90s, get prostate cancer screening. If you want to maintain your quality of life in terms of control of your urine, get prostate cancer screening. Because if you don't, the counter is when you have advanced disease and we can't cure you, unfortunately, the first thing we're going to do is provide androgen deprivation to lower your testosterone to as low as possible, where unfortunately you're not going to get any erections whatsoever. You're going to be a shell of your former self. You're going to put on 30 pounds, 20 pounds, 40 pounds. You're going to be prone to irritability. You're going to be prone to depression. You're going to have sleep disturbances. It's going to negatively impact your erections. All of a sudden, not only do you not have erections, and you're a lot heavier than you used to be, and you not have any energy or have any drive to do anything, you're going to have breasts. So please, get prostate cancer screening. Let's not, unfortunately, because you want to save your life, give you breasts, rob you of your erections, cause you to put on 40 pounds, reduce the quality of life considerably, just to allow you to live with prostate cancer that's advanced when we could have easily picked it up and minimally invasively treated you 3, 5, 10 years before you presented with advanced disease. So please let that be a motivation to please get prostate cancer screening. Okay, we're going to talk on the other side of the commercial. This is Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. Back. This is Urology Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. I'm riding solo today. Unfortunately, this is a pre-recorded show, so unfortunately, no text and no call-in this week. But please feel free to call in and text next week, even if it's related to a topic that we're discussing today. So going further, we're just talking generally about abnormal things that have become the normal for too many men. So I'll always talk about prostate cancer because it's an overwhelming problem and a preventable problem in this country. 100 men in this country are dying every single year of prostate cancer needlessly. No one should be dying of prostate cancer in this lifetime. Everybody in the society knows someone who's died of prostate cancer. And it's not a pleasant death. And it's not a quick life death. So too many men say, it's when it's my time, it's my time. Well, you can determine when that time is if you live right, you eat right, you get exercise, you get your annual physicals, you take your medication for non-communicable diseases like hypertension, diabetes, you get your screening in terms of colon cancer screening with colonoscopies, and you get your prostate cancer screening in terms of a blood test every single year from the age of 40. We can allow you to have those good quality years in your 80s and longevity where we're maintaining your erections because, as I was talking earlier in the show, erections are almost a sign of your health. If you have good health, you can have good erections. So if something's going on with erections, then something almost certainly is going wrong with your health, whether it's hypertension, diabetes, atherosclerosis, coronary artery disease, high cholesterol, obesity, obstructive sleep apnea that can lead to low testosterone. So there's so many things that could also be going on at once. It can be two things. It could be three things. Or it could just be one major issue. So please always seek help for erectile dysfunction. Never let the bladder control your life. You shouldn't want to wake up, and you shouldn't be waking up, whether you're a male or a female or a child, more than twice in the night to urinate. And many times we're our own worst enemy because we're drinking 100 gallons of water a day because we have the misunderstanding that the more water we drink, the healthier our kidneys are going to be. Obviously, you want to keep yourself well hydrated. You want to have at least 64 ounces of water or coolant a day. So don't overdo it. There's no need. It's not going to make your kidneys any healthier. It's not going to reduce your chance of getting kidney stones anymore if you are forced to pee every 30 minutes and it's creating havoc on your life socially and professionally, waking up all hours in the night. So even if you don't have any issues in terms of emptying your bladder, just your behavior in terms of what you drink before you go to bed. Far too many patients will say, "Doc, I'm waking up 3 times in the night to pee. Then I'm waking up 4 o'clock in the morning and I can't fall asleep. And I don't understand why." And then I'll say, "What do you drink before you go to bed?" "Oh, I'll have 2 cups of caffeinated Lipton tea." Caffeine is a diuretic. That's going to make you produce greater volumes of urine. That's going to cause you to pee more frequently and urgently. Caffeine is a stimulant. So why are you taking a stimulant when you're trying to go back to sleep, when you're trying to go to sleep? So you're working against yourself. So we not only have to look at what you're drinking in terms of volume, we also have to look at whether you're having caffeine intake. Alcohol is obviously a diuretic. Even if you're 21 years old, you know that if you have 6 beers, you're going to be peeing all night throughout the night. So Please limit your alcohol intake for many reasons. You shouldn't be drinking every night. 3 beers, 4 beers every night is not the norm, and it shouldn't be your norm, because that's going to cause havoc on your life in so many ways. Everything in life in moderation. Drink sparingly. Drink responsibly. Caffeine should not be part of your intake at night. We also have to look at the medication. Sometimes medications that you can take in the daytime, because all you need to do is take it over a 24-hour period, you're taking in the night, and that medication may be a diuretic that might in itself be making you pee all night. So as urologists, we need to determine exactly why you're urinating so frequently. Is it because of your behavior in terms of intake? Is it because of what you're intaking? Is it because of medications that you may be on that you might not even necessarily need to be on? But you as an individual, you don't make that decision. Let your physician make that decision with you. Also, we need to know that certain things are going to make you run to urinate, and that anything related with caffeine. Chocolate has caffeine in it. Sodas have caffeine in it. So even if you have 3 Cokes through the evening, through the night, that in itself is probably going to make you pee more frequently and urgently. The caffeine in Coke and other sodas is also a stimulant, so that's also going to disrupt your sleep. We look at something that's a pandemic in itself in this country, and that's obstructive sleep apnea. Most men don't even know what that is. They don't know its relation to testosterone, or even that testosterone is an entity. So just a brief little synopsis. Obstructive sleep apnea, most men are not going to realize that they have obstructive sleep apnea, other than they feel fatigue when they wake up. They may have a little bit of a headache when they wake up. They feel run down all the time. They need to take a nap at the end of the day. You know the saying goes, when you're watching TV, the TV's watching you, because you fall asleep at the blink of an eye. You need to have caffeine throughout the day just to get by, because you're always on the brink of falling asleep. You never feel rested. You feel tired and fatigued all the time. Your concentration is poor. In many cases, that's related to obstructive sleep apnea. There's 2 forms of sleep. There's REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, which is, in layman's terms, deep sleep. That's the time where you're going to dream. That's the time where the testosterone, the hormone that you need to get an erection, to have energy, to have vitality, that makes you you, is replenished. The testosterone that you use throughout the day is replenished during sleep, and not just any sleep, during the deep part of sleep, which is called REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. What happens when you have obstructive sleep apnea? Basically, you have obstructive sleep apnea. You have your tongue rolling back, obstructing your airway. It's going to cause what we call hypoxia to many organs. So you're not getting a sufficient oxygen supply to your brain, to your heart, to other organs, which over time is going to play havoc on your heart. It's going to play havoc on your brain. It's going to reduce the quality of your life. And it's a vicious cycle, unfortunately. So not only are you not getting that good quality sleep, on top of that, you're not getting your replenishment of your testosterone. So you have 2 reasons to feel like a zombie. You have 2 reasons to feel run down, or all of a sudden put on 40 pounds and have a bear belly and don't know why, because you don't even drink a beer. You can turn your life around and exercise 4 times a week and get a trainer and drink alcohol sparingly or not at all. Or drink the healthiest of diet with a dietitian. If you have obstructive sleep apnea, you're fighting a losing battle, because it's exceedingly difficult to lose weight, and it's very easy to gain that weight. So what will usually happen is a partner will determine that they're snoring very loudly. Then all of a sudden, not only do you stop snoring, but you stop breathing for a few seconds. So someone who has severe obstructive sleep apnea may stop breathing 6-8 times within a minute. And that's causing hypoxia. And there's a strong correlation between the risk of stroke and the risk of heart attacks and low testosterone and obstructive sleep apnea. So when you have obstructive sleep apnea, it's going to cause your testosterone to fall. The falling testosterone is going to cause you to be overweight and obese. The low testosterone and the obesity and being overweight is going to cause obstructive sleep apnea to get worse, which in turn is going to cause the low testosterone to get worse. So it's a vicious cycle that is never ending, that's ruining your life, and many men don't realize what's happening to them. They know they don't feel the same. They know they feel like almost like a cloud over them all the time. They're feeling tired all the time. They're feeling irritable. They may be prone to depression. In the severe cases, there are men who are actually falling asleep while driving at a stoplight because they're so overwhelmed with fatigue. They're not getting that good quality sleep, and because their testosterone is so low, they're feeling overweight and fatigued and basically in the male version of menopause. Stop letting that happen. There are too many men who don't understand what's happening to them. There are too many family members, friends who are not compassionate and understanding. What you need to do is you need to encourage yourself to seek help. Or if you know someone who is completely stubborn, which is a typical Bahamian man, you need to drag them in to at least get their erections back on track. Let that be the motivation. Let them reduce their chance of getting a heart attack or a stroke. That should be a motivation. And allow them to lose that 40, 50, 60, 70 pounds. That in itself is a motivation. So we have all the motivations to finding a solution to being overweight, having sleep apnea, having low testosterone, having erectile dysfunction. All you got to do is seek help. And we don't just blindly give you testosterone, because if we do, all we're going to do is cause the sleep apnea to actually get worse. And not only that, if you have early prostate cancer, if we give you testosterone, unfortunately, that can cause the prostate cancer to proliferate and progress rapidly. It's not as if testosterone causes prostate cancer, but if you do have prostate cancer, testosterone will cause it to grow rapidly and to progress and proliferate. That's why when you have advanced prostate cancer, as I spoke about earlier, part of the palliative measure that we provide is to lower your testosterone to as low as possible to essentially starve the prostate cancer of the fuel, the food it requires to progress. So hopefully we can halt that prostate cancer from progressing. It's not a solution, because prostate cancer is very intuitive. It's going to actually bypass that castrate cascade. So it'll find a way to overcome that. And hopefully we'll be able to prevent the prostate cancer from spreading for 2 years, 5 years, 7 years. But it'll reach a point where even starving you of testosterone is not going to stop the prostate cancer from progressing. And that is called castrate-resistant prostate cancer. Then we have to go to another line of drugs, or chemotherapy, or other things that men don't want to hear and we don't want to put you through. So if you're putting on weight unnecessarily, if you have no sexual drive, if partner is saying you're snoring all the time, if you wake up with a small headache, if you feel fatigued all the time, if you feel you don't even recognize the body that you're inhabiting, you probably have obstructive sleep apnea. We can test you for sleep apnea. And a lot of people will think, oh, I'm not going to, even if I'm diagnosed with sleep apnea, it's so uncomfortable, or I've tried the CPAP machine. There are a lot of aerodynamic, more comfortable CPAP machines that are available. And there are other ways, minimally invasively, that we can actually treat sleep apnea, particularly mild and moderate forms of obstructive sleep apnea, without even having to use a CPAP machine. So please don't suffer needlessly. That's one of the take-home messages for this show today. Stop letting the abnormal become your normal and suffering needlessly. Don't let embarrassment stop you from seeking help. Let's live as long as possible with the best quality of years on this earth. You work hard, enjoy those golden years. Enjoy the retirement years. See your granddaughter have her own child, graduate from college. Spend those golden years traveling the world with your wife. You work hard for a reason. Don't become a burden to your family. Don't one day be the wonderful breadwinner who loves their wife, loves their kids, loves their nieces, their nephews, their grandchildren. And then all of a sudden, you become an emotional, physical, and financial burden to them because you couldn't bother to get an annual physical and get prostate cancer screening, or get routine colon cancer screening, or get tested for non-communicable disease like hypertension or diabetes or high cholesterol. Or when you're worse yet, when you're diagnosed with these non-communicable diseases, you refuse to take your high blood pressure medication. Where men will tell me, I only take it when I have a headache or I'm about to pass out. Or I only take my diabetic medication when I'm peeing 10 times in the night. Or I only take my diuretic medication when I feel nauseous and I'm going to vomit and I feel like I'm going to pass out. Do you listen to yourself? You're on the brink of disaster, doing untold harm to the organs of your body by essentially not treating something that easily can be treated and give you longevity on this earth. So please, if you're prescribed a medication, and then I'll hear the counter, you know what, doc? My high blood pressure medication causes me to have erectile dysfunction all of a sudden. My high blood pressure medication I take at night causes me to pee all night. So I'm not going to take it because I have no symptoms of high blood pressure. That's exactly it. High blood pressure is a silent killer. You're not going to feel anything until it's too late. Don't be your own physician. As a urologist, as a physician, I'll be the first to admit, and any other physician will admit, for certain persons, certain classes of high blood pressure medications unfortunately have the side effect of causing erectile dysfunction. The solution to that is not to stop taking the medication, because in the end, your high blood pressure medication is going to do untold harm to your male member and cause erectile dysfunction in the long run anyway, and in many cases, irreversible damage to your erections. It's also going to affect your eyes, it's going to affect your heart, it's going to affect your kidneys. So all we have to do is change you to a different class of medications. There are alpha blockers, beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, there are diuretics, some medication or a mixture of or one of those or one or more classes of those drugs. So we can provide a medication that allows your blood pressure to be well controlled, which in itself will allow your erections to improve and be maintained without it causing untold harm to your other organs. And it's not going to affect your erections. So please stop self-diagnosing. Stop letting Google be your doctor. Stop borrowing medications from other persons because it can be life-threatening. For example, someone who has unstable angina where they take a nitrite, where they take that medication, a sublingual nitrate under their tongue because of unstable angina. If they borrow a Viagra or a Cialis from a friend or a colleague, that can kill them because there's a very adverse reaction between nitrates and those classes of medications for erectile dysfunction. It's not very common that persons have angina, but some people have died needlessly because they borrow someone else's medication. Only take medication that's prescribed for you. And a medication that's prescribed for you where a physician is going to follow up to determine what are the risks of it, if you have any potential complications from that medication, is the medication right for you? Is that the correct dose? Just because you've been on a high blood pressure medication for 20 years doesn't mean that's the same medication you're going to be on for life. You may need a lower dose. You may need a different medication. As time goes on, you may need to change the medication that you're on because it's become less and less effective. So please always get your annual physicals. Please have a relationship with your primary physician or your urologist or whatever specialist where within the confines of the office, you have that kind of relationship where you can have open dialogue, where you can feel free to express anything without any concern for embarrassment, without any concern for that information leaving the confines of that confidential office. So please stop suffering needlessly. You as an individual, as a man, I'm speaking mainly to men, and then I'm also going to open up to women, because another misconception is that urologists only see men. We see men, women, children of all ages. It's the common saying is that at some point in life, every individual, male or female, needs to see a urologist for one reason or the other, because as you get older, everyone's going to have some urogenital issues, and there are many of them, including cancers. So and as urologists deal with penile cancer, testicular cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancer, urethral cancer, cancer of the upper tracts, the ureter, the kidneys themselves, prostate, obviously. So anything to do with the urogenital system, whether it's male, female, or children, it falls under the domain of urologists. We talk about the bladder controlling your life. One of the more heartbreaking things is for me to see a child who, in their formative years, where they're forming their personality, where they're building their self-esteem, to be needlessly wetting the bed every single night, which is called, medical term is called nocturnal enuresis, where every night the tragedy happens, where the stress of the family, stress of the children, where the beds are soaked, the pajamas are soaked, where they have to change the bed sheetings twice a night, or you got to change the pajamas every night, where you may have a 12-year-old who's been wetting the bed for 6 years, and you have a 7-year-old sibling who doesn't wet the bed. Imagine the effect of that self-esteem on that individual. We can treat you for bed wetting and effectively have you stop bed wetting the very night, the night of the day we see you. So please, bed wetting is one of the greatest tragedies and stresses anyone family can face, and it doesn't have to be. So please listen to your body. Don't let urinary issues control your life. Don't suffer needlessly with erectile dysfunction. 1 in 3 women have an overactive bladder. Don't let the bladder control your life. Stress incontinence, where every time you cough, you sneeze, you leak. Women, you shouldn't have to be on a panty liner. You don't need to be on a pad. You don't need to avoid laughing or picking up your grandchild because you know you're going to leak urine. It shouldn't affect you socially, where you don't want to date or be intimate with your partner because you feel you're going to leak urine. As a urologist, we can get you control of your urine, gain control of your bladder, gain control of your happiness, have you urinating maybe once a night or no time at all, having you urinate every 3 or 4 hours instead of every 15, 20 minutes. So please listen to your body. Please get your annual physical. This is Dr. Gregory Pintle, the Urologist Speaks, and it's been a pleasure to speak with you this evening. We'll talk again next week. Good night. Urologist speak. Urologist.